Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:40 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Which I guess, we're not doing that savings time anymore as a nation, I guess. So that's going to go the way of the dinosaurs. You're listening to the Orange and True podcast, brought to you by the friendly folks at collegemagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It's I, Senecro2 on Twitter, at Senecro on Venmo. You can find me on the internet quite a bit. To one side of me, via the magic of voice over IP, it is the rumor monger at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for seeing you for the first time in a long time, right? I feel like I haven't had the podcast in a while.
It's been a minute.
And to the other side of me, a man who probably, I don't know, knows more people than you do at this year's Coachella lineup, if you actually wanted to ask him. The AU chief.
It's talent. Either you got it or you ain't.
Guys, we have major football news to talk about on this pod. That's what we're going to do right off the jump. And by football, I mean association football, also known as soccer, because the Auburn soccer schedule has been released. Guys, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing nothing but dubs all the way down.
Yeah.
An undefeated season on its way to the October 30th SEC tournament seems to be the only thing that I can deduce from this schedule. But to get into details, I know Ryan and Chief will be there August 8th. It's Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Auburn hosts the Georgia Southern Eagles in an exhibition game.
It'll be a scorcher. August 8th in Auburn.
I bet it will be 900 degrees at 6:30 p.m. But tickets are free. The first true home game, not exhibition game, will be on August the 18th at 6:30 p.m. It's a Thursday night game. You got nothing else going on.
Probably move-in week, is my guess.
What'd you say?
Probably move-in week for Auburn.
Probably move-in week. So if you're listening to this and you're a high school senior, congratulations. You'll be moving in to Auburn August the 18th.
Make this your first Auburn athletic event.
And you'll see Auburn play Old Dominion.
You do a single high school senior listening to this podcast.
No, I hope not.
We might have, well, actually, take it back. We have one that might be a rising high school senior.
You guys need to be doing a lot more studying and a lot less listening to this podcast. Auburn, the non-con, we got Southern Miss and Wake Forest, West Virginia, Army, UMass Lowell.
Troops.
Who I've never heard of until today.
Lowell Mass?
Yeah, wow. I'm sure it's in Lowell Mass. Samford. But the one that I want to focus on is that August 25th game at Tallahassee against Florida State. Florida State is a consistent powerhouse in soccer. And so our ladies will go down there and, well, I think August 25th and then that August 28th at Wake Forest game, those two games we will probably able to see what we've got. I think that's kind of we can see what we've got as a team before we hit the conference play. Conference play starts at Arkansas on September 22nd. Let's see. We've got Arkansas on the road. That's going to be tough. Let's see. Where do we play the Aggies? We play the Aggies on the road October 14th. I will probably not make it on a Friday night to College Station.
Hmm. How far is
on
couple?
Purpose?
Two, three hours?
Probably four.
Oh god,
it's a haul.
So let's see. Texas is big.
Basically,
what'd you say?
Auburn to Huntsville, Nashville ish.
3 hours and 15 minutes for me.
Okay, Auburn to Huntsville.
Texas is bigger than most European countries.
Yeah.
Just bigger than a lot of Europe.
But here's the thing, folks. The Iron Bowl of soccer, the IBOS, is at Auburn this year. Auburn hosts that bad boy. That's October. That's the game you all want to know about, October 27th, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Their last matchup, Alabama beat Auburn on October 28th, 2021, 1-0. It was a huge upset. Auburn's 19-10-2 against the Tide. But let's talk about Fear the Seven. I don't know, the second finger. I don't know what we would call that one. Because between 2012 and 2019, Auburn won 7 straight. And I'd like to start that streak at 1 this year. And we can't beat that streak without getting a W this year on October 27th. So Halloween weekend, it's a Thursday night. If you're listening to this, you're an Auburn student. Congratulations. You've got plans. Wear your Halloween costume. Go to the game.
Like, Halloween is going to be a long weekend when you're in college. Like, you don't have to start on Thursday.
But you should. And you should wear your costume to the soccer game. And we should call it Fright Night. Auburn Marketing, if this is not called Fright Night, I don't know what we're doing. Fright Night at the complex, and encourage students to come dressed in their Halloween costumes. I want to see some former presidents in attendance.
Bananas.
Freddy Krueger. Mm. Some cats. Nurses.
There's whatever people are supposed
to. Freddy.
That's going to be the
Krauger, maybe.
Now we're talking. I want to see some Karen Hoppe costumes.
Going to be so many Top Gun costumes, man.
Oh yeah, that's going to be. Yeah, I think
Top Gun.
That's going to be Rooster.
A lot of Rooster.
Yeah,
and Hangman,
probably. Yeah, we need to do a full on Top Gun Maverick.
We should podcast. because I've completely bought into the theory that Maverick is dead the entire movie.
See, is that like a Jacob's Ladder scenario in which Maverick dies in the first scene where he's up in the
whatever? Yes, correct.
Yeah, I could believe that.
When just watching it, I was like, well, there's no way you lived through that.
No, I can 100% believe that.
But now, like,
going through it. Scientology got
through it. He's cleared his thetans.
Yeah, well, let's try not to get pulled off the air by the church.
Well, speaking of Scientology, our football team is going to do amazing things this year, and had a pretty decent recruiting weekend from what I understand. And that's all I'm going to talk about that, because we really should get into baseball.
Yeah. Look, hey, we had a great baseball season.
We had a baseball season that nobody predicted, not even on this podcast, could Drew McCracken try to sell us a bill of goods of us going to Omaha.
Well, I think this is the second time.
Season hedged. I was like, hopefully they're making play the postseason. Probably a 3 seed, maybe a 2 seed. Everything has to be perfect for them to be a regional host.
That son of a gun came on this podcast and made us think, I don't know, man. Bullpen might be okay. It depends on what the
wasn't
bullpen
peak,
does.
Wasn't peak out.
That's the I would like to point out, this is the second time that Mr. McCracken has downplayed how good we could be, and then we went on to make it to Omaha. So
I can't wait. Next year he's gonna come on here and be like, guys, I don't know if we're gonna make it to the SEC tournament.
That's what I want to hear.
Auburn went 1-2 in Omaha.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we won a game in Omaha for the first time since 97, though. So
that is a big deal.
Pac-12 champions.
Yeah.
Knocked out, I believe, 3 of the 4 Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament.
There we go. Yeah.
I want to say we won more Pac-12 series in a row than we did FCC series in a row this year. I don't know if we won 3 straight conference series. Maybe we did.
I think we did.
Game for Stanford and the single game with UCLA. Were
yeah, those are one game series.
Okay. Yeah.
Am I introducing baseball to you, Ryan? That's how it works. Those are called one game series in the sport.
Okay.
It was a great season, great postseason too. I mean, especially that regional. There's nothing more fun than scoring that many runs. And then to go to to go to Corvallis and have to go to a game three and still win. I mean, that was great too. And we didn't just do it with our bats.
Good baseball games too.
Yeah, three great baseball games. Three great pitching performances. Bright in the first one, got in some trouble, but that wasn't all his fault, right? That was the first one, right?
So, yeah, that's when he struggled, but then the bullpen came in.
Yes, right. And that was just an incredible performance from the bullpen there. And then, Joseph pitched really great the second day. It's just, things happen. They got some hits, not a ton.
Going up against one of the best pitchers in the country.
But, yeah, the other guy was just, incredible lights out pitching performance from him. We still only we lost that game by a run, two runs, something like that. And then we came back the next day and took care of business. And that was really fun. Like Ryan said, three really great games. If you can watch three really great games in which your team loses one, at least they only lost the one. And I think you've come out pretty good there. And then we get to Omaha, and sometimes you just run into a team that is hitting their stride. This Ole Miss team was definitely, I said it when we lost to them. They seem to be in the same zone that we were during the regional. So
they were locked in. I mean, they're an elite team too. And if you weren't paying attention, you kind of got caught off guard by them because they weren't a regional host. They weren't a national seed.
They were
halfway through the season. They were a national favorite in the preseason.
Right.
Not the favorite, but one of the favorites. And, it's not like they came out of nowhere to just win the whole thing. Well, now, they were the last team in postseason.
Yeah.
But that was just a factor of them being cold at the wrong time.
That pitcher was on one in that game. I think he had a better game. I mean, he almost Maddoxed us. So that, I think what we got a hit in the fifth, that was our lone hit against this guy.
Well, and it's what we had kind of seen Auburn look like towards the end of the regular season, especially against Kentucky. Yeah. Of just like the bats weren't all working.
Yeah.
Sometimes bats go cold.
If you just jumped in for the regional, you had an outsized expectation of
what. Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot of good hitters, but really one lead hitter. And if the other guys are just having a bad week, they're having a bad week. What you can do about it?
Hey, man, sometimes you eat the bar.
The elite hitter
struggled as well.
Struggled, yeah.
But he wasn't the only one. I mean,
oh, no, for sure not. It turns out we find out that the whole team had the stomach flu of some sort. That weekend as well. Only one guy missed a game, and he didn't even miss a whole game, right? He tried and came out, I believe, second inning.
Cole Foster got sick in the Ole Miss game. They had said it was like dehydration or something, but it sounded like he was just not feeling well. So they got pulled out of that game and didn't miss the next one, but. It happens.
We ran out. That pitcher also almost Maddoxed another team. So it's like he almost had two no hitters.
So he ended up, they kind of got to him in, I believe it was the seventh inning. They only scratched one run across, but got him out of the game.
Yeah.
Or got him out of the game in the eighth, rather. But 7.2 innings, and
face the minimum through the fifth is what it was, right?
Right. 10 strikeouts, 7.2 innings, 115 pitches. Yeah. But he was at like 70 pitches going into the seventh.
Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that happens, and that, mm-hmm. that's why, you know, that's why you don't have a single elimination tournament in baseball, too, right. Because you run up against that.
So luckily, yeah. Auburn go in game two and got a win in the elimination bracket.
Yeah, one of the hottest games I could it just looked hot on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an early afternoon. Auburn took on Stanford. A little different than the 50 degrees or whatever it was in Corvallis.
Yeah.
Auburn played great, won that game. Like you said, the first win in Omaha since '97.
Well,
in that game 6-2.
In that game, though, they struggled. Like Stanford was up 2-0 for five innings.
Stanford was up 2-0 going into the sixth, and then okay. Auburn finally got it together, put a four spot on the board, and then another two runs in the seventh.
Yeah, the bats woke up Our bullpen is our bullpen, so we, you know, locked them down, kept them from putting anything else up on the board.
Two and a third from Blake Burkhalter, and just was excellent. Five strikeouts, only 39 pitches and over two innings, so he was in total command of that at the end of the game.
Yeah,
and this was the number two overall seed. This was. You know, Oregon State was number three. Auburn beat them. Stanford was number two. Auburn eliminated them.
Yep.
Okay. It was a heck of a run. And we have we talk about Butch because he's doing unbelievable stuff at Auburn. Like regionals in 17, Supers in 18, World Series in 19, and then back to the World Series again. Taking a game in 22,
but with a whole new crew.
I think it's one guy. Is it
Kaysen Howell was on that
picture,
I think,
and a whole different type of team.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You have a question in the show notes that I'm going to say we should talk about, but you say should Butch be getting the same level of respect as Bruce?
Absolutely.
And I would say. Yes and no. Yes, in that what he's doing is incredibly impressive. And like, yeah.
He has Auburn baseball to a level it hasn't really ever been at.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the reason why I would say, I don't know, is just because baseball is not basketball in terms of like national. Sure. Like, no one knows. Like, people outside of the Southeast, for the most part, don't even watch college baseball.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even people in the Southeast don't watch it. I mean, I guys tuning in, like, what the hell is this?
You see, you're big into baseball.
Whereas, like, Bruce Pearl is like, I know people who could tell me Bruce Pearl's name around the country who could not tell me the head football coach at Auburn's name this year.
Yep.
And I guarantee they couldn't tell me Butch Thompson's name.
Yeah, I mean, from a PR level, Bruce has done a lot better job of elevating the program to a national name. But that lends itself to the sport where if you are a consistent, you know, top 10 college basketball team, you're going to be fairly well known. Plus, yeah, the person is part of it. What Butch has done with the program, the level of consistency, you know, essentially four out of the last five postseasons, College World Series, and two out of the last three. And with a program that has baked in disadvantages to where even Auburn basketball doesn't, Auburn basketball gets the same number of scholarships as everybody else in the SEC.
They are an Under Armour team though. So,
well, sure. Auburn baseball struggles as, you know, you don't know college baseball. You don't get every player on scholarship. You get, was it 11.7?
Yeah. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. It's something
right.
Like
that. So about half your team is not scholarship or partial scholarship or however you break it out. But the difference is a lot of these schools offset it with state lotteries. And Drew McCracken has talked about it before on here. He can explain it better. But you know, if you're in Georgia, you have Hope that is funded by the state lottery, and you have over a 3.0 GPA, you get automatic in-state tuition if you're in the state of Georgia.
And then Vanderbilt can use...
Vandy's a private school.
Private school. Right. So they can use academic scholarships and all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Right. So the two teams in the state of Alabama that are in the SEC don't get to use that state lottery to supplement their scholarships. One of them didn't make the postseason, and one of them made it home all. So
one of them sucks, and the other one's Auburn.
Yeah. Right. And we're in, I mean, the SEC West for baseball is better than the SEC West for football. It's which is,
yeah.
I do think there's a case. SEC basketball. There's definitely a case for Butch, and I think the case I would make
Bruce here. I love
right. Bruce. I kind of right. think it's almost a wash, because at least with Auburn baseball, there is a history of being good, not great. And there's just not that with basketball. On the other hand, it's harder to build a, you know, you got nine people on the roster, so are on, you know, starting each game. I mean, I don't know how many people are. Is it like 20, 25 on your roster for baseball? So it's not with basketball. One good player can change your fortunes. Two can definitely do it. Now, your player pool is smaller, I guess. It's weird. It's two different sports. It's hard to compare how quickly you can have these kind of results. It did take both of them a little while to build to where they are. Bruce has not made two Elite Eights, and
right.
and Butch has.
But it probably is, yeah.
You know, I think they're. It's unfair to both of them to compare the two. I think.
And the point of the question isn't to say, oh, this one's better than the other. It's more of, you know, we put Bruce up on a podium.
Sure.
Absolutely. That he earned for himself.
Yeah.
I think we need to start talking about Butch as
right.
a great Auburn coach that is doing similar things with the program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just done on the basketball side.
Absolutely.
And it hopefully the consistency stays, and we keep seeing this as a team that is hosting regionals and making the supers, and you know, you make it to Omaha, anything can happen. Lowest seeded team won this year.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of we have to win titles for Butch or Bruce to be elite, but just want to throw it out there. I think the conversation, especially after last year, was, oh, has this kind of petered out? We weren't very good in the COVID year and then missed the postseason last year for baseball. But I think Butch has kind of turned that narrative all the way back around.
Yeah, and I think we finished fifth this year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They were one game away from being tied with their best finish ever in program history.
Yeah. You know, we ended up losing to Arkansas, who, again, another team that was playing in this tournament like Auburn played in our regional. They were, honestly, their win over us was more impressive than Ole Miss's, I thought. They killed us. Just killed us. And
I'm choosing to think that both Arkansas and Ole Miss were just powered by the jello shots at Rocco's.
Well, it's possible too. I mean,
you can't tell me none of those jello shots of the
if like
30,000 made it to any players. Been
a bourbon drinking competition. None of those other teams would have stood a chance. Maybe Texas. No, they weren't there.
Texas was there.
No, Texas. Mm-hmm. Maybe Texas. Maybe they hang with us.
Texas had the unfortunate experience of getting eliminated by not rival Texas A&M. Mm.
Ouch. Ouchie. Owa. But yeah, we lost to Arkansas. You know, we were very close to a SEC final, but it ended up being what, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. And Ole Miss just went right on in there and snatched it. And I guess congratulations, Mississippi.
Let them have this one.
Hey, but now their walk of champions is somewhat accurate because they're champions of something. Walk of champion.
All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk basketball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. I don't know what we're at this podcast. Ryan's doing 24-45. Great. I am thrilled to talk to you guys about the NBA draft. Jabari Smith disappointed at the number 3 pick. However,
better off.
That's an amazing sentence that we're Auburn fans can be disappointed that we have only the 3rd best pick in the draft, not the 1st.
In his words, God doesn't make mistakes.
God doesn't make mistakes.
Well, it's funny. It appears that, well, the guy they picked sort of blew them off for a workout.
And he wasn't even invited. They didn't even invite
him. Well, I heard a little bit differently that that he kind of tried to avoid it because that's not where he wanted to go. And Chet tanked his workout with the Orlando Magic. And yet they still picked the guy that they did not work out, who
these pre-draft workouts are fascinating to me. I think Bill Simmons, who's, you know, love him or hate him, had an interesting point about some of these pre-draft workouts because I think it was
– it's like, what are you going to see? And
the Magic took Penny Hardaway over Chris Webber because of a pre-draft workout. And he was like, what was Penny Hardaway doing in that workout that made them go – nope, we don't want Chris Webber, as good as Penny Hardaway is, but we don't want to pair the best power forward alive at the time
with
best center. We would rather just get Penny. It's like, he's like, I cannot fathom what was he doing at that? Making half court shots with his left hand? Like,
it seems so stupid because it's a practice.
And you're by yourself.
Not in a game.
Workouts, you're usually alone. Or they put chairs out and you have to dribble around the chairs. It's not basketball.
But I've heard Simmons talk about it. And there's been so many dudes that got picked off of
Darko Milicic is one.
I understand working guys out that you're not drafting, free agent guys, bring them in.
I understand bringing them in to just talk to them, kind of get a feel for them.
I also understand working out guys you know you're not going to draft as a smokescreen.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're the number one overall pick, and then no one is drafting ahead of you, you don't have to
smokescreen. Unless you're trying to.
I think they were. I think they were trying to trade out.
Anytime you've got 9 ball dominant guards, you got to draft a ball dominant forward. And no shooters. They got no shooters on that team still. That is a disaster. I think, they'd have been better off drafting literally anybody else or just trading their picks to anybody.
Totally trash organization.
I'd much rather cheer for a franchise that has some things going for it, though.
Has what going for it?
A losing season in front, probably, but
essentially playing a starting roster of teenagers.
But then maybe they get Wabayama.
They're playing SEC basketball all-star team.
with Auburn legends, Jalen Green and Jabari Smith.
Yeah.
Tari Eason.
Do you guys realize how unhappy Jabari Smith is going to be on this team this year when they're trying to tank? He's going to be so upset.
And they're buying out John Wall because they literally paid John Wall, you guys. $45 million last year to not play basketball because they didn't want him around the organization that badly.
Well,
Well, they said, please stay away from the court and our practice facility. We will continue to pay you as if you are playing for us.
Yeah, that's not shocking.
They gave him $45 million last year, and now they're going to send him allegedly to the Clippers, where he's going to sign as a free agent.
Boy.
For maybe the veteran's minimum. Walter Kessler got taken 22nd and is going to wear number 31 for the Timberwolves, the same number his grandfather wore for the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Really?
So there's your Minnesota Kessler tie-in.
Oh, hey.
That was tweeted by the Minnesota Timberwolves about an hour ago. The picture of his granddad and him wearing their 31 jerseys.
Looks
just like Walker.
That organization really sucks, doesn't it?
It depends, man. Like, that organization, every so often, you're like, this is the year. This is when they get it figured out. And then, like,
yeah,
it just doesn't work. Like, I don't.
They have some talent on that team.
Exactly. But on paper, like, you're like, this is it. Like, this is a good team.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards, as much shit as I gave him in college, he's a good basketball player. He's a good scorer. Carl Anthony Towns, for a big guy, good shooter, not a good defender.
Me think this pick was in preparation for the eventual departure of Cat. No,
you mean the greatest shooting big man of all time? Just ask him.
Sure, yeah, that guy.
He called himself that. He called himself
I'm the greatest just shooting big man of all time. As everyone eventually does, he's going to force a move out of Minnesota, and they're sort of expecting it.
I believe he just re-signed.
Okay.
Maybe. I could be wrong.
But I mean, at 22, you're not really picking a franchise cornerstone or anything.
No.
But the idea that he would call himself the greatest shooting big man of all time is so laughable, considering, like, Kevin Durant is still in the league.
Although
Durant
exists
on Earth.
Jabari Smith is on the league.
Well, Durant said he's not a big. He goes, I'm not a big, so don't count me. But then Durant said, but Dirk is.
Dirk Nowitzki is a guy that exists now, alive.
And played at the same, like, Cat was in the league in Dirk's twilight. Like, it wasn't like he's never heard of him. They played like 8 times 1 year, I'm sure.
It's a very odd statement. But yeah, good for Walker.
I was worried Walker might fall in this draft. There's a handful of centers that were all kind of rated above him. And then maybe just kind of in looking at last year's draft and what happened with Sharif and Thor, thinking, oh, maybe, you know, he's rated as a first-round guy, but you never know.
I was psyched on him to drop a little bit further and end up with the Rockets.
Well,
mentioned Sharif and Thor. This is the year, because last year we didn't really have a summer league to speak of. I mean, they existed, but it wasn't as fun as it normally is. This is the year where I think those two cats do some stuff at summer league. And I'm going to try to watch as much summer league as I can, because I know of those two teams, because I know they're both going to be on the summer league roster, and this is going to be their chance to, like, shine. And I think Thor, year he develops,
Thor was be better. Yeah, Thor got, you know, minutes this year.
That was a cup of coffee in Charlotte.
The Hornets.
He played real basketball for a real basketball team this year.
We should probably go back to Jabari's situation in Houston first. We didn't really elaborate about
Jabari's it. Jabari's situation in Houston is going to be fascinating to me, because
they have former Auburn great Jalen Green on their roster as well.
You could convince me.
He played really well last year towards the end of the year.
Yeah. And so you could convince me the Rockets could do anything from be like the Pelicans this year and be like, wait a minute, this one's actually pretty dang good by the end. Or you could convince me that they're gonna win 16 games. Like, I really, it could be.
I mean, it's all young guys, you know. It's I expect Jabari's a starter immediately. I mean,
they've got Jalen Green at the one, at the one. He's probably playing the three. Jabari Smith,
Ty Washington,
Washington, Josh Christopher, who's an athletic guard. Tari Eason, who I like a lot. And then their center, their starting center currently is a Turkish guy named Alperen Sengun. And he
is
Rockets fans. What'd you say?
Is Boban staying on this team or is he getting waived?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that one. But I know Rockets fan liked Sengun a lot. Rockets fans really into him. Boban at this point in his career though is really a matchup. Like that's all he is. Like if you're playing a team you could give him
could lend himself to some fun moments this year with Jabari hanging out with Boban.
Yeah, it's gonna be great for Twitter. Boban being on your team as a Mavericks fan, Boban being on your team is awesome for social media engagement. He's also great if you randomly are playing a team that decides to play big. You can go, great, we're going to put this giant dude in the game. If you don't want to run, we can plot up and down, and he'll still score and get rebounds. But, like, he's just a matchup. He's completely matchup dependent. He is, to use an analogy Auburn football fans will understand, he's a kickoff specialist. He's giving a scholarship to a kickoff specialist. You could do it, but should you do it?
No.
Like if your kickoff specialist is great, maybe you do, but should we really carry two scholarship kickers?
Yeah, if you've got like Deion Sanders, you need to throw him a scholarship to return kicks. Yeah, do it.
So having Boban on your team is a luxury that a team like the Rockets can't. I mean, they don't have enough space to keep a guy out there that's really good for playoff matchups. They're not making the playoffs. Like, so, I mean, what do you have this guy for?
Lack of better.
Big who is their?
Yeah, I guess.
Who is their coach, and what kind of basketball should we expect them to play?
This would be if you were to ask me what my favorite party trick would be. It would be I would love to know all of the NBA head basketball coaches. I think because right now you could ask me, I bet you I could not get 12.
It's odd. Because there was a time where I think most people that paid half attention could name most of them. And now I like in the playoffs, I was like, wait, who's this guy?
Yeah. They move around so much. So they're,
you might actually know this,
bro. Steven Silas. I'm just looking it up too. And he
Mavs assistant.
Yeah. He was a Mavs assistant under Carlisle. And
Carlisle disciple then.
Yeah. He's a Carlisle disciple. He's a Brown graduate. So he's an Ivy League guy.
Interesting.
He's coached around the world. He is, he was part of the Dirk Nowitzki Basketball Academy in Berlin, representing the NBA. This is his first stint with the Rockets, but he has been in the NBA in some capacity since 2000.
Maybe he could get Jabari some work in with old Dirk.
That'd be great.
Be a connection. Surely. I mean, Dirk still lives in Dallas, right?
Yeah. I saw him. Yeah. I actually saw him on Mother's Day.
Oh, that's amazing.
Brunch, which is a wild thing.
Was he with his mother?
No, I was in line to get into this brunch place, which is classic Dallas. And Dirk he parked his car, went in to get takeout. Just walked
straight in. Yeah,
he went in to get takeout because he was getting takeout from this brunch place. I'm assuming go home to give to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very interesting because Dirk is like not incognito.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way he can be incognito.
He's a 7 feet tall guy.
So it is highly possible that Jabari Smith could at some point this offseason work with Dirk Nowitzki.
Even more, Chief. It is almost 100% possible that he will work with the Dream.
Oh yeah, he'll work with the Dream for sure. And that's why I was hoping Walker would end up there, man. That would be
well. You had some post moves with Jabari's game, and this thing is a wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because already Jabari is unguardable from the 3-point line.
Yeah,
and basically unguardable from the 3-point line all the way to the elbow. Yeah. If you can add some stuff down, because let's say Jabari gets to play a little bit of four. There's going to be some times in the NBA where he's going to have a smaller guy guarding him at the four. Well, take that guy down to the block.
A little bit of four?
I would say he's going to be mainly the four.
Yeah, it's
probably has to be because that Green's going to be the three, right?
Yeah, I mean, there could be some chances you put him at the three, but I'm
God, that's a big team, though, right?
It is a big team.
Wow. I absolutely despise that this team, that he went to a team that is, has a primary color of red. But I've become more excited about watching this team.
Well, you're going to have league pass because I almost guarantee they don't get much national TV games.
I don't have to have league pass.
Right. But you're not going to see him on TNT or ESPN much.
Yeah, right.
The knock on this team, well, a knock on this team, a lot of knocks on them the last couple of years is that they're like one of, if not the worst defensive teams in the league. Is that right?
Well, they were horrible.
They got the best defender in the draft. So,
well, what normally potentially
two of them.
In the NBA, usually the joke is that if you have a team that's also the youngest team in the league, there's almost a guarantee that the worst defensive team in the league.
Yeah, I would not be shocked to see Jabari look like he has taken a step back defensively. I mean, because he has to, he'll have to get used to the physicality, the speed of the NBA, and the length.
He's not playing the guards from South Alabama this year.
Or Yale, is that who we played this year?
He's not defending the guy from Yale. Georgia. He's going to be defending Georgia. Anthony Davis this year at some point.
Yeah,
he's going to defend Zion this year. He's going to defend.
There's going to be a learning curve.
It does seem like this franchise has committed at least a little bit to bringing in some help defensively between Jabari and Tari Eason. Tari was arguably the best defender not named Walker Kessler in the SEC last year.
Yeah.
Guys don't generally come into the NBA and especially at 19 years old and look great defensively. Like it's just not a thing that happens.
But it's guys that have the defensive effort to get there.
Yeah. I would look by about year three, you'll probably see Jabari look like he is a lockdown defender like he does now. And that's sort of the timetable I would set. So don't set your expectations too high.
How many times will he play in Dallas this year, Crew?
Quite a bit because they're in the same division.
Right. I don't know what the divisional schedule is in basketball. Like, is it five games or six games a year?
Seven.
I don't know. Like seven or eight times. Let's see. Right now I was looking at the different power forwards he's going to play. He's going to play Triple J from Memphis. He'll play Zion. He's going to play the cat that the Mavs just got from the Rockets in that trade.
Christian Brown?
Yeah. It's going to be – he's going to play some really good teams.
Yeah.
Going to go up really against players. Going to go up against Chet in Oklahoma City, right? Because that's the same division as well, right?
Yeah, same division.
Well, I would think that might you see Carl Anthony Towns at the four and
actually that's five. The Southwest Division is Memphis, Dallas, New Orleans, and Houston, and San Antonio.
Okay.
So the Thunder are not
going up against.
It's just the Thunder in their same division they were in when they were in Seattle.
He'll see Zion.
He will see Zion. And that's what I was saying. He's going to see Zion. He's going to see the Mavs. I don't know who the Spurs have anymore at power forward.
Now, a place you could see him absolutely destroy, though, is the Summer League. Like he
if they play him. I'm interested in how much they play him.
Rockets Magic is game one. So he'll have a shot against Paolo.
I don't remember much about how the NBA does their number one overall picks in terms of Summer League. I doubt he plays a full Summer League slate. Yeah. I think he plays a couple of games. Yeah, so here's the deal. You get four games against the other four division opponents. This is how it works. So that's 16 games are made up of division games. You play four games against your six out-of-division conference opponents, which is 24 games. And then three games against your remaining four conference teams, which is 12 games. Two games against teams in the opposing conference. So that's 30 games. So that is how you get your 82 games. So he's going to see the Mavericks four times, two home, two away. He'll see Zion four times, two home, two away.
All right. We expect you to get to one of those, one of the home ones.
I'd like to.
Or the away ones for them.
It'd be easier to get tickets to the away ones.
Yeah.
It'd be easier to drive down to Houston.
Well, for more help for Jabari in the near future, just looking at a all too early 2023 mock draft where the Rockets would be picking second behind the Thunder, Scoot Henderson to the Rockets. Another Auburn legend.
Freaking NBA champs. Yeah. Scoot Henderson is the one that got away from me. This is that's the only basketball recruit that I've ever been like genuinely sad about. Scoot Henderson.
Didn't we have him?
We were a finalist until the G League came in.
Oh, okay.
And then the G League told him he could actually reclassify and go a year early.
That's right.
So he literally could not go to the NBA draft this year because he was in the G League and couldn't go to the NBA.
Right. His line in the G League this year per game
as a high school senior.
As a high school senior was 14-5-4.
Yeah, in maybe the second or third best league in the world. Jesus. As a high school senior, he averaged 14 points a game. And not playing full minutes because he's playing for that G League Elite team, and they rotate guys crazy.
Yeah. His per 36 was 21-7-6.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dude, this kid is Scoot Henderson is so good, and yet he is in nobody's big board number one overall.
He's Bruce Pearl has an eye for talent. I'll tell you that right now.
And Auburn was on him early.
Yeah.
If you look at the big
board. He jumps on guards early. Like that's
if you look at the big board for next year, a lot of names you'll recognize that were Auburn's either a finalist for or heavily recruiting.
So I did somewhat related. I mean, this is def 100% related to our draft talk. I did notice that none of the top five were G League guys this year. I do kind of wonder if with NIL and that being the case, will it help make people, maybe think
next year's draft is going to change it though.
Yeah.
Right. If everybody next year. Yeah.
So the next year's draft, the top five on Tankathon is, Coro, go ahead and say his name.
Mbiyama. Victor Mbiyama.
7-2 French center.
French Scoot, center who is the most hyped up NBA draft prospect since LeBron James.
Scoot Henderson in the G League. Nick Smith at Arkansas is number three, but then the Thompson twins are 4 and 5, and they're both playing for overtime.
The Thompson twins?
Amon and Oster?
Yeah, they're both at that overtime four elite thing that's kind of a G League light or something. I don't really know who Overtime Elite plays. I don't know who they play.
They're a little bit older than some of these other guys. They're going to be 19 and a half at draft time.
But you're looking at what you're basically saying is the top five picks, only one will be a college player.
I thought you were talking about the British pop band, the Thompson Twins.
Right.
Is that couldn't tell you.
Well, so you're saying one is a college player, one is a French genetic freak that is somehow made in a lab somewhere outside of Marseille and is going to come in and just destroy. If you watch his highlights, you're like, this is not real. This is a video game that someone's made.
Crow, I remember you telling me about this guy 3 years ago, maybe.
Because he destroyed Chet Holmgren in the U19 World Cup. So that game was supposed to be this like Clash of Titans in the U20 World Cup. It was summer before this past basketball season, and the U.S. had Chet. The U.S. won the game, but Chet was a non-factor, and this kid, Wembanyama.
Chet a non-factor in a game where he plays a guy that's actually talented?
Wembanyama is a full year younger than Chet. Like this, Wembanyama was playing up a division to play in this game, and was easily the best guy on the floor. He just played for France and didn't have the guards. But yeah, it was like watching a guy play against kids, and he was the kid.
So who's picking number two?
Yeah,
hopefully the Rockets.
Well, then they're going to get him because the Magic won't pick the best player in the draft. And they're definitely going to be number one.
Thunder picking one.
It's the lottery. Hopefully
the Houston wins the lottery.
Yeah.
Jesus. What a team.
If they win the lottery and they get Wembanyama, and that's one of those things where it's like everyone's talking about how it's he's one of those players where it's like even if you're the Timberwolves, if you won the lottery, you would take him. Even if you've got Kessler and Kat, you would just be stockpiling centers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kat can play the four. Like, it's
right.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, that maybe we might see him play some four and to get Kessler some minutes this year. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you've really, you're probably pulling Kat off the floor to give him a rest if you're playing Kessler, though. So.
Right. Well, guys, I don't know if we've got much else to talk about. We need to do some off-season fun pods.
I've got a episode coming up for you guys that's going to be a lot of fun. I'll go ahead and tease it a little bit. Not quite ready yet. We're going to have a trivia night. If you're familiar with Josh Dubb's football database spreadsheet, every little piece of minutiae he could ever find, he's helped me kick off a basketball version of that. I've been kind of backfilling that throughout this offseason. And we're going to see how you guys do with that.
And I've got a football game for you, too.
Great.
So make sure you start looking up.
Is that soccer?
No. American gridiron football. Make sure you look up, start studying up on Auburn players.
You need to read the media guide?
Career bests.
Well, that'll be good. That'll help us get ready for basketball season.
Well, we also need to watch Out Cold.
Out Cold?
Yeah.
For Ryan?
For Ryan. Yeah, we've got to do the Out Cold episode.
That's that movie that every time there's some movie that I feel like is like this cult classic, the star of it now like disavows it. Like Jack Black is like super anti-Saving Silverman. And apparently Galifianakis is like super anti-Out Cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing movie.
I know. Both are great. Both are great films.
Also been told by my boss I need to watch Slapshot.
You should watch Slapshot. It's hilarious.
Slapshot. Oh, yeah, yeah. I should watch that.
He's a Canadian. The guy,
yeah. No, Slapshot's, that's a good watch.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we're talking media here before we go. Have you guys watched anything great or read anything great that you want to recommend?
Latest season of Peaky Blinders is really good.
I want to watch that. I got a thing with Cillian Murphy. I can't.
He's super cool. Is that your thing with him?
No, I can't stand the way like looking at him bothers me. So it's.
Well, let me ask you this, Chief. Do you like cool music?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like people walking in slow motion?
Away from fire.
A lot of the time.
Okay. All right. All right. You got me.
You will love Peaky Blinders. That's about 90% of the show, and it's great.
A lot of people like it, and it's something I've been meaning to start. I just can't make myself do it.
My pitch is The Old Man on FX right now.
Yeah, I want to watch it. Really episode. Watch
it. It is fantastic. I think the way I described it to you guys after the first two episodes was Jeff Bridges is old and it's in a Tom Clancy style universe kind of thing. And he's kicked a guy in the nuts, his dog's chewed up a bad guy and hooking up with a hot MILF. So
nice.
And Tour de France starts on Friday.
The Dude of Pies. Oh, there you go.
So
get ready.
Is this Victor guy going to be cycling?
What'd you say?
This Victor guy?
It'd be a heck of a bicycle. That's like a size 70 frame.
I can't recommend Stranger Things enough. The new season is the best since the first. It is daunting because the episodes are far too long. But the final two episodes are dropping on Friday, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I finished up What We Do in the Shadows, season 3.
Get some time for the season in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the new season of that starts in 2 weeks. And I will say season 3's the best part is Donald Logue shows up. And one of the other vampires recognizes him as his character Quinn from Blade, which is amazing. And he has to tell her, oh, no, that's actually just a role I played. But I dug the lifestyle so much, I decided to go all in. So
it's funny.
It's a great. It's not a cameo because he's in a couple episodes, but it's pretty good.
Chief, last question before we go, while we're on the same topic of media. How do you feel about Kenobi?
Just